Hi, everyone. Welcome to Daily Bread for Busy Moms, a podcast from Israel. Today is Friday, July the 7th, and that is the 13th of Tammuz on the Hebrew calendar. This week, we are in a Torah portion called Balak, and we are coming to the end of that portion now. We'll be wrapping it up in this episode. Since it is Friday, I'm going to be doing the end of the week double episode where I read for both Friday and tomorrow, Shabbat. So, we'll start with our portion for Friday from the Torah, and that is Numbers 23, 27 through 24, 13. Before we begin to read, let's bless the Lord for giving us His Word. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who gives the Torah of truth and the good news of salvation to His people Israel and to all peoples through His Son, Yeshua the Messiah, our Master. Balak said to Bilam, "Come with me to another place. Perhaps it will be pleasing to God, and you may curse them for me from there." So Balak took Balaam to the top of Peor, overlooking the wasteland. Balaam said to Balak, "Build me 7 altars here, and prepare 7 bulls and 7 rams for me." Balak did just as Balaam had said, and offered a bull and a ram on each altar. When Balaam realized that it was pleasing in the eyes of Adonai to bless Israel, he did not resort to sorceries as at other times, but turned his face toward the wilderness. Lifting up his eyes, Balaam saw Israel dwelling by tribes. The Ruach Elohim came over him. He uttered his oracle and said, "This is the oracle of Balaam, son of Beor, and the oracle of a strong man whose eye has been opened, the oracle of one hearing God's speech, one seeing Shaddai's vision, one fallen down, yet with open eyes. How lovely are your tents, O Jacob, and your dwellings, O Israel. Like valleys they are spread out, like gardens beside a river, like aloes planted by Adonai, like cedars beside the waters. Water will flow from his buckets, his seed by abundant water. His king will be greater than Agag. His kingdom will be exalted. God is bringing him out of Egypt like the strong horns of a wild ox. He devours nations hostile to him. He will crush their bones. His arrows will pierce them. He crouches like a lion or a lioness. Who would rouse him? He who blesses you will be blessed, and he who curses you will be cursed." Then Balak became furious at Balaam and struck his hands together. Balak said to Balaam, "I summoned you to curse my enemies, but look, you have blessed them these 3 times. Now go home. I said I would reward you, but see, Adonai has kept you from reward." Balaam answered Balak, "Didn't I indeed tell your messengers whom you sent to me, saying, 'If Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I could not go beyond the mouth of Adonai to do good or bad from my own heart. Whatever Adonai may speak, I will speak.'" That was Numbers 23:27 through 24:13. And our portion from the prophetic writings today is Ezekiel 4 and 5. "Now you, son of man, take a brick and lay it before you. Engrave on it a city, Jerusalem. Lay siege against it. Build earthworks against it. Raise an assault ramp against it. Pitch camps against it, and place battering rams all around it. Then take an iron plate and set it up as an iron wall between you and the city. Set your face toward it so that it is under siege. So you will lay siege against it. This will be a sign to the house of Israel. Then you are to lie on your left side and set on it the punishment of the house of Israel. According to the number of days that you lie on it, you will bear their iniquity. I have appointed the years of their punishment to you as a number of days. 390 days. So you will bear the iniquity of the house of Israel. When you have completed these, you will lie on your right side and bear the iniquity of the house of Judah, 40 days, a day for each year I have appointed to you. You will set your face toward the siege of Jerusalem, with your arm bared, and prophesy against it. Behold, I will put ropes upon you. You will not be able to turn from side to side until you have completed the days of your siege. Take wheat and barley, beans and lentils, millet and rye, and put them in one bowl. You will make bread from them for the number of days that you will lie on your side. For 390 days you will eat it. The food that you will eat will be 20 shekels a day by weight. You may eat from it from time to time. You are also to drink water by a measure, a sixth of a hin. You may drink it from time to time. Eat it as barley cakes. Bake it on human dung before their eyes. Then Adonai said, "This is how Bnei Israel will eat their bread, unclean, among the nations where I will scatter them." Then I said, "Ah, Adonai Elohim, behold, I have never defiled myself. From my youth up until now, I have not eaten what died of itself or was torn by beasts. Tainted meat has never come into my mouth." He said to me, "See, I have given you cow dung instead of human dung, so you will prepare your bread on it." Then he said to me, "Son of man, I will break the staff of bread in Jerusalem. They will eat bread by weight in anxiety, and they will drink water by measure in horror. On account of their lack of bread and water, they will be appalled at one another and waste away in their iniquity. Now you, son of man, take a sharp sword. Use it as a barber's razor to shave your head and your beard. Then take balances to weigh and divide the hair. A third you will burn in the fire in the midst of the city, when the days of the siege are complete. Take a third and strike it with a sword all around the city. Scatter a third to the wind, and I will draw out a sword after them. Take a few from there and tie them up in your garment. Also, take some of them, throw them into the midst of the fire, and burn them in the fire. A fire will spread from it into all the house of Israel." Thus says Adonai Elohim, "This is Jerusalem. I have set her in the midst of the nations, with countries all around her. She has rebelled against my ordinances by doing wickedness worse than the nations, and against my decrees worse than the surrounding countries. For they have rejected my ordinances, and as for my decrees, they have not walked in them. Therefore thus says Adonai Elohim, because you are more turbulent than the surrounding nations, in that you have not walked in my decrees or followed my ordinances, nor have you observed the ordinances of the surrounding nations. Therefore thus says Adonai Elohim, behold, I in turn am against you. I will execute judgments among you in the sight of the nations. On account of your abominations, I will do with you that which I have never done, and the like of which I would never do again. Therefore the fathers will eat the sons in your midst, and sons will eat their fathers. I will execute judgments on you, and I will scatter the remainder of you to all the winds. Therefore, as I live, says Adonai Elohim, surely because you have defiled my sanctuary with all your detestable things and with all your abominations, therefore I will shave you off. My eye will not spare, and I will have no pity. A third of you will die with the plague and will be consumed with famine in your midst. A third will fall by the sword all around you. A third I will scatter to all the winds and draw out a sword after them. I will vent all my anger and satisfy my fury on them. Then I will rest. So they will know that I, Adonai, have spoken in my zeal when I have satisfied my fury on them. Moreover, I will make you a ruin and a mockery among the surrounding nations and in the sight of all who pass by. When I execute judgment upon you in anger, rage, and furious chastisement, you will be a mockery and a taunt, a warning and a horror to the surrounding nations. I, Adonai, have spoken it. When I send evil arrows of famine upon them, for destruction I will send them to destroy you, and I will intensify the famine upon you, and will break your staff of bread. I will send on you famine and evil beasts, and they will make you childless. Plague and blood will sweep through you. I will bring the sword upon you. I, Adonai, have spoken. That was Ezekiel chapter 4 and chapter 5. Now we're going to be reading our portion from the writings, and it is Nehemiah chapter 1. The words of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah. Now it happened that in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was still in Shushan, the capital, that Hanani, one of my brothers, together with some men from Judah, arrived, and I asked them about the Judeans, the remnant who had survived the captivity, and about Jerusalem. They said to me, "The remnant who survived the captivity there in the province are in great distress and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire." Upon hearing these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days. I prayed and fasted before the God of heaven. Then I said, "Adonai, God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps the covenant and loving kindness with those who love him and keep his mitzvot, please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer of your servant that I am praying before you today, both day and night, on behalf of your servants, the Bnei Israel. I am confessing the sins of Bnei Israel that we have sinned against you. Yes, I and my ancestral house have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you. We have not kept the mitzvot, the statutes, nor the rulings that you commanded your servant Moses. Please recall the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, 'If you act unfaithfully, I will scatter you among the peoples, but if you return to me and obey my mitzvot and do them, then even if your dispersed people are at the ends of the heavens, I will gather them from there and bring them back to the place where I have chosen for my name to dwell. They are your servants and your people whom you redeemed by your great strength and by your mighty hand. Please, my Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today and grant compassion in the presence of this man." Now I was the cupbearer to the king. That was Nehemiah chapter 1. And now our final portion for Friday's readings is from the Apostles, and it's 2 Corinthians 12. I must go on boasting, though it does no good. I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Messiah, whether in the body I don't know, or whether out of the body I don't know. God knows. 14 years ago he was caught up to the third heaven. I know such a man, whether in the body or outside of the body, I don't know. God knows. He was caught up into paradise and heard words too sacred to tell, which a human is not permitted to utter. On behalf of such a man I will boast, but about myself I will not boast, except in regard to my weaknesses. For if I should want to boast, I would not be foolish, for I will speak the truth. But I refrain, so that no one may think more of me than what he sees in me or hears from me, even in the extraordinary quality of the revelations. So that I would not exalt myself, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to torment me, so I would not exalt myself. I pleaded with the Lord 3 times about this, that it might leave me. But he said to me, My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly in my weaknesses, so that the power of Messiah may dwell in me. For Messiah's sake, then, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in distresses, in persecutions, in calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I have become a fool. You drove me to it, for I ought to have been commended by you. For I am in no way inferior to the super special emissaries, though I am nothing. Truly the signs of an emissary were worked out among you, with patient endurance, by signs and wonders and mighty miracles. For in what respect were you treated worse than the rest of Messiah's communities, except that I myself did not burden you? Pardon me this injustice. Look, I am ready to come to you this 3rd time, and I will not burden you, for I seek not your possessions, but you. For the children are not obliged to save up for the parents, but the parents for the children. I will most gladly spend and be spent for your souls. If I love you more, am I to be loved less? But be that as it may, I did not burden you myself. Nevertheless, crafty fellow that I am, I caught you with trickery. I haven't taken advantage of you through any of those I sent to you, have I? I did urge Titus to visit you, and I sent the brother with him. Titus didn't take advantage of you, did he? Didn't we walk in the same spirit, in the same footsteps? All along you've been thinking that we are defending ourselves to you. It is before God that we've been speaking in Messiah, and all for building you up, loved ones. For I am afraid that perhaps when I come, I may find you not as I wish, or I may be found by you not as you wish, that there may be strife, envy, outbursts of anger, self-seeking disputes, lashon hara, gossip, arrogance, unruly commotions. I am afraid that when I come again, my God may humiliate me before you, and I will mourn for many of those who have sinned before and not repented of the impurity and sexual immorality and indecency which they committed. That was 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and that concludes the readings for Friday. And now, let's turn back to the Torah, and we'll do the final portions for this week, which is the Shabbat readings. We'll start with Numbers 24:14 through 25:9. Now behold, I am going back to my people. Come, let me counsel you what these people will do to your people in the latter days. Then he uttered his oracle. The oracle of Balaam, son of Beor, the strong man whose eye is opened. The oracle of one hearing God's speech, one experiencing Elyon's knowledge, one seeing Shaddai's vision. One fallen down, yet with open eyes. I see him, yet not at this moment. I behold him, yet not in this location. For a star will come from Jacob. A scepter will arise from Israel. He will crush the foreheads of Moab and the skulls of all the sons of Seth. Edom will be conquered. His enemies will conquer Seir, but Israel will triumph. One from Jacob will rule and destroy the city's survivors. Then he saw Amalek, so he uttered an oracle and said, Amalek was the first of nations, but will come to ruin at last. Then he saw the Kenite, so he uttered his oracle and said, Your dwelling is secure, your nest is set in the rock, yet Cain will be destroyed when Ashur captures you. Again he uttered his oracle and said, Oh, who can live when God does this? Ships will come from Kittim's shore. They will afflict Ashur and Ever, but they too will come to destruction." Then Balaam got up and went and returned to his own place, and Balak went on his way. While Israel was staying in Shittim, the people began to have immoral sexual relations with women from Moab. Then they invited the people to the sacrifices of their gods, so the people were eating and bowing down before their gods. When Israel became bound to Baal of Peor, the anger of Adonai grew hot against Israel. Adonai said to Moses, "Seize all the ringleaders and hang them before Adonai facing the sun, so that Adonai's fierce anger may be turned away from Israel." So Moses said to the judges of Israel, "Each of you, kill your men who have been joining themselves to Baal of Peor." Then behold, a man from Bnei Israel came and brought a Midianite woman to his brothers before the eyes of Moses and of the whole assembly of Bnei Israel, while they were weeping at the entrance to the tent of meeting. When Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, son of Aaron, the Kohen, saw it, he arose from the midst of the assembly, took a spear in his hand, and went after the man of Israel into the tent, and pierced them through, both the Israelite man and the woman's belly. Then the plague among Bnei Israel was stopped. However, 24,000 were dead because of the plague. That was Numbers 24:14 through 25:9. And this week's Haftarah portion from the prophets is Micah 5:7 through 6:8. "Now the remnant of Jacob will be in the midst of many peoples, like dew from Adonai, like abundant showers on grass that does not wait for a man, nor lingers for the sons of men. For the remnant of Jacob will be among the nations, in the midst of many peoples, like a lion among the forest beasts, like a young lion among flocks of sheep, who, if he passed through, would trample and tear to pieces, and there would be no deliverer. May your hand be raised up against your adversaries, and may all your foes be cut off. Now in that day," it is a declaration of Adonai, "I will cut off your horses among you, and I will destroy your chariots. I will cut off the cities of your land and throw down all your strongholds. I will cut off sorceries from your hand, and you will have no more diviners. I will cut off your carved images and your sacred pillars from among you, so you will no longer bow down to the work of your hands. I will uproot your Asherah poles from among you and destroy your cities. So I will execute vengeance in anger and wrath on the nations that have not listened." Hear what Adonai is saying. Arise, contend with the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear Adonai's dispute, O mountains. The enduring foundations of the earth. For Adonai has a dispute with his people, and he will argue his case with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? Or how have I wearied you? Answer me, when I brought you up from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of bondage, I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember, please, what did Balak, king of Moab, propose? What did Balaam, king son of Beor, answer him? From Shittim as far as Gilgal, so that you might acknowledge the righteous acts of Adonai. With what shall I come before Adonai? With what shall I bow myself before God on high? Shall I present him with burnt offerings, with year-old calves? Will Adonai be pleased with thousands of rams, with hordes of rivers of oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my belly for the sin of my soul? He has told you, humanity, what is good, and what Adonai is seeking from you, only to practice justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. That was Micah 5:7 through 6:8. And now, our final portion for this week is 2 Peter 2:1 through 22. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you. They will secretly bring in destructive heresies. They will even deny the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Many will follow their immoral ways, and as a result, the way of the truth will be maligned. In their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction does not slumber. For God did not spare angels when they sinned, but threw them into Sheol. He put them in chains of gloomy darkness to be held until the judgment. He did not spare the ancient world. He preserved only Noah, a proclaimer of righteousness, along with seven others, when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly. He devastated the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, reducing them to ashes, making them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly. He rescued Lot, a righteous man, deeply troubled by the shameless immorality of the wicked. For that righteous man, while living among them, was tormented in his righteous soul day after day by lawless deeds he saw and heard. Therefore, the Lord certainly knows how to rescue the godly from trials, and how to keep the unrighteous being punished until the day of judgment. Especially those who follow after the flesh in its unclean desires and who despise the Lord's authority. Brazen and arrogant, these people do not tremble while slandering glorious beings. Yet even angels, though stronger and more powerful, do not bring a slanderous charge against them before the Lord. But these people are like irrational animals, creatures of instinct born to be captured and killed. They malign what they don't understand, and in their destruction they will be utterly destroyed. They will be paid back for what they have done, evil for evil. They consider carousing in broad daylight a pleasure. They are blots and blemishes, reveling in their deceitful pleasures while feasting together with you. They have eyes full of adultery that never stop sinning, enticing unstable souls. They have hearts trained in greed, a cursed brood. They have abandoned the straight way. They have gone astray. They have followed the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of wickedness. But he received a rebuke for his own wrongdoing. A dumb donkey spoke with a man's voice and put a stop to the prophet's madness. These people are springs without water and mists driven by a storm. The gloom of utter darkness has been reserved for them. For by mouthing grandiosities that amount to nothing, they entice in sensual fleshly passions those who are barely escaping from those who live in error. They promise them freedom, while they themselves are slaves of corruption. For a person is a slave to whatever has overcome him. For if, after escaping the world's pollutions through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Yeshua the Messiah, they again become entangled in these things and are overcome, the end for them has become worse than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, then after learning about it, to turn back from the holy commandment passed on to them. What has happened to them confirms the truth of the proverb, a dog returns to its vomit, and a scrubbed pig heads right back into the mud. Well, that was 2 Peter chapter 2, and that wraps up our reading for Daily Bread for Busy Moms this week. This is Johanna wishing you all a Shabbat Shalom.